now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there? Man, I'm pretty good. This week has been an action-packed week, not just in the terms of sports and the sports world, but, you know, it's spring, you know, with family, we're going out, we're doing things for spring break, so, you know, I'm working on the podcast around those things, and we're making it happen, man. I'm bringing it to you because I know you want to hear the Commissioner's Conversation, and I love to bring you the Commissioner's Conversation. This week, I want to get into a couple things, man. Like, there's so much to talk about that I have to kind of scale a lot of stuff back, but we're going to get into it, man. First, we're going to get into the whole Kevin Durant and Michael Rapaport thing. I want to touch on that. I also want to touch on the Atlanta Braves, the All-Star game, and the voting bill that was passed in Georgia. We'll touch on that. I also want to get into what happened in the NCAA men's championship and the women's championship. We'll touch on those things. And finally, did you see Paul Pierce's live? Yeah. Yeah, we'll get into it.
Commissioner Gordon.
So first thing, before we go into anything topic related, I want to continue to tell you that this week's podcast is brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. Greenwood Whiskey is celebration whiskey. It's the whiskey that you should chill out with. It's the whiskey that you should have fun with. And it's the whiskey that you should drink responsibly. Greenwood Whiskey is more than just a drink. It's a movement.
Commissioner Gordon.
I want to jump right into this Atlanta Braves All-Star game and the voters' rights thing because a lot of people have asked me, like, yo, what do you think about the Braves? Are you disappointed in their statement? Well, quick backstory if you don't know as to what's happened. The law just went into place in Georgia, signed by the governor, that basically restricts voting access to in the state. You know, it does things like requires ID for mail-in votes. It's restricting ballot drop boxes, and it's even criminalizing bringing people food and water when they are standing in long lines for voting. So what wound up happening is this law got put into place, and basically Major League Baseball said, oh, if that's your play, if that's what Georgia's doing, then guess what we won't be doing in Atlanta or in Cobb County this season? We won't be playing the All-Star game there because we don't support that type of racism, right? And we also, nobody's really talking about this. I think they were supposed to hold the Major League Draft in Atlanta. It's not as big as the NFL draft or the NBA draft, but they're not hosting the draft either. But the All-Star game is the big thing. And so basically what happened was the Braves trotted out a statement which basically said, we're disappointed and we're the victim. That was pretty much the synopsis of it. I mean, they said they believe in equal rights voting, and Atlanta has always been a place for equality and all those things, but they never spoke out and said, we don't believe in this bill. We are not for this bill. This is not a reflection of us. So instead of opposing the bill, they sought sympathy from the fans. They sought sympathy from us in regards to Major League Baseball. They made Major League Baseball the bully. They made Major League Baseball the bad guy instead of Governor Kemp. and everybody's looking around. They're so disappointed. Oh man, the Braves should have did this and said that. I'm so angry and I'm so upset. Well, if you've looked at it, this has been par for the course for the Braves for quite some time now. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, and growing up as a Braves fan, I had uncles, and they grew up in Atlanta, from Atlanta, and the Braves were their team. They've been their team. Even when the Braves sucked, they were their team. And then the Braves got good and got hot. They were their team. That was the Braves. It became my team. It was America's team. That's what Ted Turner coined it as, because it was on the superstation TBS, channel 17. You could see it everywhere. Whether you were in New York, whether you were in Miami, whether you were in Los Angeles, you could see Superstation 17. And you could watch the Braves. That's where they were playing. They were America's team. And in that part, in that time period, like I said, under the ownership of Ted Turner, they reflected America. You had black players. You had white players. You had Latin players. They were America's team. Well, I think Ted Turner sold the Braves to Liberty Media around 2006, 2007. I think it was 2007. And about that time, you stopped hearing the coined phrase, America's team. You no longer heard that. And you keep going down the line and you look, and the Braves stopped looking like America's team. It's just like a bunch of white dudes playing baseball. You'd have your Latin players sprinkled in here or there, but you didn't see any black guys on the Atlanta Braves. Like I said before, there were plenty of black guys. During that crazy run that the Braves went on, you know, you can name Dave Justice, Ron Gant, Fred McGriff, Terry Pendleton, hell, even Deion Sanders. I mean, you can go down the line of black baseball players that were playing for the Atlanta Braves. But like I said, they were America's team at that time, and they reflected that. They no longer reflect that. They don't even tell you they're America's team anymore. You don't hear that anymore. When you think of America's team, 9 times out of 10, people think of the Dallas Cowboys, because that's what Jerry Jones is putting out there. Much like how Ted Turner used to put out there for the Braves. But no, I'm not disappointed, because I saw this coming. Because what happened was, like I said, the team went white. Then the organization decided to only cater to white people. And when I say they only catered to white people, what they did was they basically moved the team from central location downtown and trotted all the way to the outskirts over in Cobb County, where they say they were moving closer to their fans and their fan base. Well, in the 90s, when they were America's team, I remember going to some Braves games, and you had black people there, you had white people there, you had Latin, Hispanic people there. You had people of all races going to watch the Atlanta Braves. But now you fast forward a few years and they're telling you they're moving to the outskirts of town in Cobb County to be closer to a fan base. Well, what fan base is that? What fan base is there? Basically, what was going on was the fact that, yes, there are a lot of white people that go to the Braves game. There's a lot of white people who watch baseball, because over time, baseball has become more and more of a white sport. But what was happening downtown was the fact that when you were going downtown and you were watching a Braves game, you were going to a black neighborhood to watch that game. As you was walking up to the gates, you would see black people, sometimes homeless people, sometimes black kids selling water, sometimes black men selling t-shirts. I don't know whether they were bootleg or not. I mean, who knows? Sometimes selling other things like, you know, bells. Well, you know, you got all the bells and whistles. You can buy all the stuff, the glow lights and all that stuff. They would sell all of this stuff on the side, and you could walk down from, you would park your car and you could walk down and you could see all this stuff, and you have your black kids. They would be playing the drums on the buckets. They would turn it over and be playing the drums, and you would, you know, you might tip them or whatever, and you would have this thing going on. Well, I believe, based off of what the Braves are telling me, that all of this made white folks uncomfortable, right? So some group of people said, you know what would be dope? If we didn't see all these black folks. We didn't see, if we didn't have all these black people in between me parking my car and me going into the gate, because they're clearly, they're cool with black people giving you a hot dog, selling you a hot dog, selling you a Coca-Cola or a cold beer. They're cool with that. They love those guys. They love the dude in the stands hollering, cold beer, get your, you know, making all the little rounds. They cool with all that. They like that. But they scared of these dudes as they walk to the game for some reason. So they got together and said, well, you know what will make us more comfortable? If we went closer to our fan base. As if only white people are in Cobb County. As if the only white people in Atlanta are in Cobb County. And they tried to mask the whole thing about they wanted more land and more control over what was going on around the stadium when it was Turner Field and Fulton County Stadium. They wanted more control over what was going on. They wanted more amenities. They said they wanted more restaurants and shops and things like that. But they don't own that stuff. I'm willing to bet that they may own the land that the stadium is on. Now it's Truist Park. But I'm willing to bet they can't own those condos. There's condos all around that place. There's restaurants all around that place. And I'm sure Liberty Media doesn't control or own all of that land. So they can't use that excuse that they tried to use in terms of, well, we wanted to have more control. They can't use that excuse. But I'm not disappointed, because I saw this coming. Once again, you had the team going white. The team going to the white neighborhood. And now that you have this fan base who clearly, 9 times out of 10, have voted in a certain direction, have voted in a certain political party, the Braves don't oppose the actions that they have been taking. And I say that because when the whole voting thing came out, Arthur Blank was quick to issue a statement. Tony Ressler, the owner of the Hawks, is quick. He followed up right behind him to issue a statement. And those statements said that we do not support the bill. It attacked the bill directly. Arthur Blank, I believe, said, we've talked about this for weeks, how this was wrong. But basically, our voice went unheard. The Hawks basically said, you can see us in motion. You can see us giving more people access to voting. We opened up the arena for voting to make it easier for people to vote. And here you are restricting voters. Here you are restricting access to vote, which is your civil law, which is your basic civil law, the right to pick your representation. But the Braves, I didn't see them issue a statement attacking the voters' law. I saw them saying, woe is me, and playing the victim to a bill that got passed, where companies like Coca-Cola, companies like Delta, companies like Microsoft have all openly expressed their anger and disappointment for this bill. But what the Braves did, they took themselves from being the national team, America's team, to being Cobb County's team. See what I'm saying? That's where they took it. That's where they view themselves as. They no longer view themselves as national. They view themselves as local. The Atlanta Falcons, for their ups and downs in football, they view themselves as a national brand. The Atlanta Hawks, for their ups and downs and what's going around, what's going on the court, off the court, they view themselves as a national brand. Major League Baseball views itself as a national brand. But this wouldn't surprise me with any other organization either, because most times, most baseball, outside of the Yankees, most baseball teams kind of have that small town feel to it. If you're a fan of the Kansas City Royals, you're a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals, you're a fan of, you know, the Texas Rangers or Astros or whoever, typically, that's how you bond. That's how you feel at home. If you're a fan of one of those teams, if you're a fan of a team and you walk into a room and you see a guy wearing an Astros hat, you feel like you can go up and talk to him and you can relate some type of way because you have a common interest. And so it has a hometown feel to it. You walk into a room, you see a guy wearing a Yankees hat, you just think he might be from New York. Or it just matches his outfit. You don't typically go up there and say, hey, you know, how about Aaron Judge? You don't really go up and do those type of things. Because the Yankees, outside of anyone else, maybe the Red Sox and maybe the Dodgers, I'll give you those. But outside of those couple, every other baseball organization feels local. And so the Braves are acting like a local organization. They want national money, but they act like they treat themselves like a local franchise. And Ted Turner had the vision. At that point in time, I don't think Tampa was around. I don't think Miami Marlins was around. He knew you can come to Atlanta for the experience, the ride to Atlanta for the experience. You were a Braves fan. You were from North Carolina, South Carolina. You come in, you want to watch some baseball, you come to Atlanta. You're from Tennessee, you want to watch some baseball, you come to Atlanta. You're from Alabama, you want to watch some baseball. Mississippi, you want to watch some baseball, you come to Atlanta. Florida, you want to watch some baseball, come to Atlanta. We're America's team. You see us all the time on television. But the Braves didn't do that. The Braves just basically said, oh man, we're disappointed that the league has taken away our opportunity to be seen on the grand stage. Even President Joe Biden called this bill Jim Crow on steroids. And the Braves didn't feel obligated at all to get out in front and say, we don't support this. They didn't say a word until the All-Star game was stripped from the city. And then, even then, they didn't say, we don't like the bill. They just said, we support equal voting opportunities. Because Arthur Blank got out here, and this is basically, I'll read you a quote from Arthur Blank and the Blank Foundation. Every voice and every vote matters and should be heard through our democratic process in Georgia. The right to vote is simply sacred. We should be working to make voting easier, not harder, for every eligible citizen. The statement goes on to say that to that end, the AMBSE Leadership Group, which is the Arthur M. Blank Sports and Entertainment Group, along with our nonprofit partners, conveyed that ideal directly to state officials in recent weeks. Our business and family foundation will continue to actively support the efforts that advance voting access for the citizens of Georgia and across the nation. It told you, we don't support the bill. The Atlanta Hawks says, as the first sports franchise in the U.S. to open its venue as a safe and efficient voting site during the pandemic, we have taken real, visible action to ensure voting is accessible to our community. The right to vote is the most fundamental citizen's right, and we at the Hawks view ourselves as a civic asset, not a partisan organization, and remain committed to endorsing steps that promote equality and encourage participation by all who seek to cast a ballot. Even the Atlanta Dream put out on their social media, very simply, very strongly, we strongly oppose the Election Integrity Act of 2021. This far-reaching legislation negatively targets Black Georgians and other voters of color, further widening inequalities and systemic racism. That's not what the Braves organization said at all. And you might be asking me, like, well, what did the Braves officially say? Like, what did they do? Well, like I said, in my research, I can't go back and find anything that they said prior to the game, All-Star game, being moved. But after the game was moved, they basically put out a press release which says, the Atlanta Braves are deeply disappointed by the decision of Major League Baseball to move its 2021 All-Star game. This was neither our decision nor our recommendation, and we are saddened that fans will not be able to see this event in our city. The Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, and we had hoped our city could use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion. Our city has always been known as a uniter in divided times, and we will miss the opportunity to address issues that are important to our community. Unfortunately, businesses, employees, and fans in Georgia are the victims of this decision. We will continue to support the community legacy projects which have been planned and are in process. There's so many things about this. While, yes, you stuck in there that the Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, but you said, we hoped our city could use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion. How? How are you going to do that? Because if you were going to enhance the discussion, the time is now. The time was when the bill was passed, the time to enhance that discussion was to raise your hand and say, hey, we're not for this. We don't believe in this. We're opposed to this. And then you could have that discussion as you move closer and closer to the All-Star break if you were allowed to continue to have that game. But you didn't. You didn't get in front of it. And so now you want us to believe that you genuinely care about the businesses, about the employees, about the fans in Georgia who are the victims of this decision. Stop trying to make the Major League Baseball the bad guy. They're not the bad guy. Look at the people who put the bill in place. Those are the bad guys. So if you ask me, am I disappointed? A little bit. I would like for them to be better, and I would like for them to be more proactive. But am I surprised? Hell no. They've been showing us who they were for years.
Commissioner Gordon.
So listen, you probably just bought a brand new pair of shoes. You probably just bought a brand new hat. You probably just got something because it's spring and everything is starting to open up a little bit more, and you want to step out and you want to be seen because we've been confined for so long. Well, if you got some shoes, you got a hat, but you don't really have a shirt or a hoodie or some shorts or anything to go along with it, you want it to be customized just right, then my suggestion to you is to go to my good people at 323 Custom Apparel. If you're looking for them on social media, you can look for them on Facebook at 323 Custom Apparel, and you can look for them on Instagram at 323 underscore custom_apparel. Check them out. Look over everything they got. They can do whatever you need. You want pictures on your shirt? Cool, they got you. You want a catchy phrase on your shirt? You want something you say all the time? They got you. They can put whatever you like. And they do more than just t-shirts. Like I said, they do hats. You want to go out, you want a customized mask because you're out in these streets? You want a mask to cover up? They got you. Go to 323_custom_apparel. Make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, it's about that time in the show where I told y'all, or I tell you, my bad. Reese Boogie, hit that intro. It's time for...
Yeah, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
My bad, y'all. I mean, I sat here and I told you guys that I thought that the women's national championship game would be South Carolina against UConn. And neither one of those teams showed up to the dance. Yeah, I know. I mean, South Carolina lost in grueling fashion. If you watch that game, it was a tight game. And they couldn't pull it off at the end. And UConn just got manhandled out there, of which I didn't think would happen. But I told y'all that those teams would be the championship game. They were not. My bad. And in the same vein, congratulations to the women of Stanford. They won a national championship. They have a hell of a team. It was a great game. And I took my hat to them. So once again, congratulations to the Stanford Cardinals for winning the NCAA Women's National Title. And also, my bad. I mean, I thought that Gonzaga had an opportunity to win the whole thing and to go undefeated. I had a bracket where I had Gonzaga winning. I think my two winners were Gonzaga and Michigan. But I will say, in my only I told y'all, when asked about the game by a bunch of people, I would always say that Baylor had the best shot at winning. So that's pretty much what happened. Baylor came out and they proved to be the more dominant team. And I told you that they would be more physical, so that they had a better shot at beating the Gonzaga Zags. So in that, I told y'all, but my bad overall. It wasn't a good week for the commish on these picks.
Commissioner Gordon.
So recently, your boy Paul Pierce, the truth, he went live on Instagram. Well, he was having a good ass time. Did you see that? Paul Pierce was out here playing poker with the guys, had some strippers in the back, had a couple blunts in the air, had some liquor. They were throwing poker chips at the women. He on live talking to people, having a grand old time. And he's been released by ESPN. I mean, when I saw this, man, I knew exactly what was about to happen. And a friend of mine and I go back and forth on why he's being released. Like, he's saying he's being released because of the strippers and all of that. And I'm saying it's the combination. It's the strippers. It's the weed. You know, it's all of the above. Like, it's the whole combo. When you work for a company that is owned by Disney, can't be out here burning blunts on IG Live, dog. You can't be out here throwing poker chips at strippers. You can't be out here having strippers shaking ass in the background while one of them rubbing your back. You know, you can't be out here like that. That ain't what they're trying to do. That's not the image that they're trying to portray. So Paul Pierce is out, and he has since made announcements saying he's got bigger things coming. He's got more things coming on the way. And I've seen a report that basically says an adult film site, Cam Soda, has offered Paul Pierce $250,000 to work as an NBA analyst with Exotic Dancers. Now, I don't know what this means. I haven't seen the entire article. I just saw the headline. But I would assume that he would probably have opportunities like this. He's going to have, there's a lot of platforms that welcome that type of thing. It just ain't ESPN. You know what I'm saying? He just wasn't going to be that guy that sits beside Rachel Nichols and Jalen Rose or whoever and leave them and then get back on IG Live with the strippers and the blunts. That wasn't going to happen. And ESPN let it be known that that's not going to happen. So, I mean, I guess you could have put this on under I Told You. But Paul Pierce, best of luck to you. We'll see what happens to you in the future. But yeah, next time, man, be smarter.
Commissioner Gordon.
In the world of being smarter, Kevin Durant and Michael Rapaport, this thing has taken a life of its own. I mean, I have so many opinions about this topic, I really don't know where to start, but I will start by giving you some of the backstory. And that backstory includes the fact that it goes all the way back to Charles Barkley when he criticized Kyrie Irving for doing some of the antics that Kyrie Irving is known to do. And the thing that Charles is basically saying is he basically is questioning whether Kyrie is taking basketball as serious as he thinks Kyrie should. And so to his defense a little bit, KD being his guy, Kyrie wasn't in that time. He wasn't, I think that was the first couple of weeks where he was out and he had opted to be out for a while. And KD heard what the commentators were saying, so he chose that his protest would be to them, that he's obligated to do the interviews, but he's not obligated to go in depth on these interviews. So what does he do? Charles Barkley asks him a question after a game. It's a yes or no question, but usually on the yes or no question, it's like, yeah, I do this and blah, blah, blah. He just says, yeah. Ask another question, nah. And so it turns into a joke on the for the cast at TNT. They go on, they laugh at Chuck, they laugh at KD, they laugh at the whole situation. They understand the situation. They know what's going on. And they make light of it and they move forward and they don't speak of it any further. But then you have a troll like Michael Rapaport who feels that it's his obligation to go out here and have his voice be heard and start telling Kevin Durant how sensitive he is, how much of a punk he is. I believe he called him a bitch and injected himself into the situation. Well, when you inject yourself into a situation, you need to always be wary of what comes with that. You don't know what's going on in the other person's mind. And so for you to go out here and to call this man all sorts of names under the sun, except for the name that his mother calls him, when the situation goes awry, you don't know how to handle it because you weren't prepared for it. And I went on Twitter and I said that culturally, there are differences in how people interact in terms of how much trash talk you can say to a person before it escalates. And I say culturally because if you look around in our culture, and I say our because I'm assuming that most of my listeners are black, but in our culture, typically, there's only so many times that I can call you a bitch. There's only so many times I can say you sensitive, you soft, I can call you a punk, I can call you other P words. It's only so many times that I can do that before you start looking at me like, hey man, let's stand up. I'm gonna show you a bitch. Let's stand up. I'll show you a punk. And you want to throw hands. You want to defend yourself because not only do you defend yourself, you're defending your name. In the words of Marlo Stansfield, my name is my name. And that's what I have. So for you to be out here using it reckless, Michael Rapaport, calling me all types of things and just expect me to say nothing because others have allowed you to do so, and you've been comfortable with that, it's not happening on my watch. It's not what we're going to do. And so what did Kevin Durant do? Kevin Durant jumped in the DMs. And I applaud Kevin Durant for jumping in the DMs because he could have played this on Front Street. He could have put it out on Front Street on social media. And he could have said, hey, bro, I spit in your face. I slapped your face. All the stuff that he said, he could have said it in front of everyone. He didn't do that. He jumped in his DMs and basically told this man, you need to relax or I'm going to beat your ass. Now, he used more colorful terms. He called him all kind of cocksuckers and said he was going to spit in his face when he see him. He was going to slap him. But the synopsis was, shut the fuck up. Keep my name out your mouth. But now, Michael Rapaport saying that, oh, KD's not going to let it slide. KD's called me all kind of words and all kinds of things, and he's threatened to pull up on me, and he sent me all kind of addresses, and he's told me to pull up here at 7 o'clock. He's told me to pull up here at 10 o'clock. He's asked for my address so he could pull up on me, so he could slap my face, and he could spit in my face, and all sorts of things. And now, Michael Rapaport wasn't prepared for all of that. Because in his culture, he could say whatever he want to. In his culture, you could do all types of stuff. And then they use the out of, what are you going to do? Put your hands on me? You're going to hit me, buddy? Well, Kevin Durant told you, hell yeah, I'm going to hit your ass. And Kevin Durant went on and he brought his wife into it. And everybody's like, oh, he brought his wife into it. He didn't really bring his wife into it. He told him that he's probably an embarrassment to his wife, and his wife is probably disgusted by his actions and is probably embarrassed to be around him and looks at him as less of a man because of some of the things that he's doing. And if you're saying Kevin Durant shouldn't bring her in this, well, I say, why the hell not? Because he's basically called out his manhood. So when you believe that you're going to call out my manhood, the gloves are off. I can say whatever because you feel like you can say whatever. But I'm telling you, you can't say whatever because from where I'm from, when you start saying whatever, you should be ready for whatever. And Michael Rapaport wasn't ready for whatever. So what does he do? He leaks the DMs. He shows the DMs. And what does he? He expects social media to handle it. He expected everyone in social media to look at Kevin Durant like a bully. He expected everyone in social media to put their arms around him and say that big bad Kevin Durant shouldn't talk to you that way, and everybody to go to and attack Kevin Durant. But social media didn't really react that way. Social media said, hey, that's what you do. Those same words that he called you, those were some of the same words that you called other players. Those are some of the same things that you said about Kevin Durant and others. And why you feel that you have the need to be involved and say these things in sports, because that's not commentary. I don't understand why more players haven't gotten in your face and threatened to slap you and spit in your face. I don't know why. Maybe because they don't take you seriously, but I would assume that this wouldn't have been the first time that somebody's told you to pull up on them or threatened to pull up on you because of what you said about them. But he expected social media to handle it. And when social media, it got out of control, and now all of a sudden, when social media is handling it, it's liable to spin any sort of ways. Because he called him what he called him in terms of being a cocksucker, now he's homophobic. I think Kevin Durant said something about him and being pasty or his pale skin or something like that. Now he's racist. But Kevin Durant, much like Michael Rapaport, was talking trash, right? That's what you're willing to tell me, that Michael Rapaport, all the things that he says on his stuff, on his live, on his Instagram, on his post, they're all cool. And then the NBA jumped in and they fined Kevin Durant $50,000. And then basically, people started laughing at Michael Rapaport. And Michael Rapaport wasn't prepared for that either. So what happens is he goes on to all these sports talk shows and he's talking about how it got out of control and how he didn't think that it would spin this way. And he's still trying to get sympathy. But what did you expect was going to happen? What did you expect was going to happen? I'm assuming you have millions of followers in terms of Twitter, in terms of Instagram. I'm assuming he has millions of followers. And so when you put that out there to your followers, you wanted them to handle it for you because you no longer wanted to handle it. It got way too serious for you. And so now you have to face some of the backlash as well. So now people are laughing at you. People are pointing and talking about you and how you shouldn't have done some of these things. And now you go on some of these platforms and you're talking about, woe is me. I'm a victim. You're not the victim. Kevin Durant is no victim either. Like, let's be honest. I don't want you to sit here and listen to me and be like, oh, well, he's siding with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. We all know that Kevin Durant pretty much reads everything, and he tries to engage and respond and control a narrative by creating burner accounts and talking back and forth to some people and have them not know that they're talking to Kevin Durant. So he's not all the way clean in this. But I'm saying he's not all the way the bad guy either. Because I've seen Michael Rapaport's posts. I've seen the way he talks about other players. And I don't know what makes him qualified to do this, because he, far as I know, I mean, he might have played some high school basketball or something like that, but he's not a basketball analyst. Outside of maybe him being on the Big Three up recently, I haven't seen anybody ask him his opinion on basketball or football or whatever. So he's not an analyst. He's not a comedian. I've never heard him tell jokes. There was one guy on Twitter that came to me and was like, oh, he's a comic. He's not a comic. He's an actor. He's an actor who goes out here poking at athletes, trying to get a reaction. And now that he's gotten the reaction that he doesn't like, he's afraid. And you can sit here and like, oh, he ain't nobody afraid of Kevin Durant. Blah, blah. Okay. You say that. And clearly, Michael Rapaport probably said that up until the time where it got real.
Commissioner Gordon.
So we've come to the end of the podcast. I thank you for listening. I thank you for tuning in and checking out the Commissioner's Conversation. You can check me out on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon. You can also check me out on Twitter at G Robinson Sports. You can also check me out on YouTube. I've got a lot of good stuff going on. You can check me out there. Just type in the Commissioner's Conversation and there I'll be. I'll pop up and you'll see me with some of my favorite guests, and we are chopping it up about some of our favorite sports, some of the topics of the day. But go out, check us out on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Check me out, the Commissioner's Conversation. Once again, I appreciate you for tuning in and giving me your time. And also, I appreciate my engineer and producer, DJ Reese Boogie. You can go out and check him out. He's doing some phenomenal stuff. Check him out at This Is DJ Reese Boogie on Instagram as well as Twitch. And we'll holler at you next week.
Okay, bye.